Hi, everyone. This is Dave Charest, Content Manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Today, we have a full house. We've got a bunch of folks here with us to talk about Future M Marketing Conference, and we'll let you know what that is in a second, but let's have some people introduce themselves. Starting to my left.
Hi, I'm Ryan Pinkham. I'm a content developer here at Constant Contact.
I'm Christine Cardos, a social media specialist.
Erica Ayotte, social media manager.
Danielle Cormier, social media specialist.
Josh Mendelson, now a head of marketing for Single Platform.
Woohoo. Ooh.
That's for another topic.
You're going to get your own podcast?
I am.
I'm Dave Gerhardt. I work on the product marketing team.
Stephen Russell, senior communications specialist.
So, the Future M conference happened recently, and a bunch of people in the room here actually attended the conference, and you're probably wondering, hey, what is the Future M conference? So, it is about a week worth of planning, debating, and celebrating the future of marketing. And we thought it'd be great to get some people in the room that attended the conference to talk about the things that kind of resonated with them, and maybe discuss some of the things that the future of marketing means for small business. So, I'm going to pick somebody randomly. Look, I'm closing my eyes and looking around the room. Josh, what was one thing that really stuck with you about the Future M conference?
There were sort of two things that really jumped out at me. So one was just the notion.
I asked for one.
Of course,
I know.
Yes. give him an inch and he works all over.
One's a setup for the second one.
Oh, okay.
But just the real notion that sort of digital marketing will just be marketing in 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Like everything
it's
is
not
about
already.
Going digital. And, yeah. And as a marketer, really needing to understand technology as much as you need to understand marketing. I think that's a big shift. And the second one is really about capturing data from customers. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of conversation, and something that we talk about here at Constant Contact as well, about how much information do you capture from people. And really it's about how are you going to use that information. Because mm-hmm. I think where companies fall down is they're capturing all this information because they can, and they're not doing anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So just a takeaway was only capture what you need. If you need more, you can change when you need it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting, and I think something to kind of think about too is like, yeah, you capture what you need at that specific time to make it easy for people to kind of join your list or do whatever they need to do. But then there's also something to be said of thinking long term, because over time you'll end up capturing more information that you can use, right? So it's not like a one-stop thing. I think we kind of got to think on that level of it's not the one time that you get somebody, it's kind of over the course of time.
You can add to it over time.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, wherever you can append behavioral data or collect, you know, different data throughout the life of your interactions with the lead. So maybe you collect three things up front, but then next mm-hmm. time you collect something else and sort of trickle in that information, you don't need to get it all from the first point of contact.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that's important because, you know, if you want people to, you know, try your product or adopt something, you don't want to put too many barriers in place. And folks are, you know, now used to having those barriers be very small. For example, a lot of companies are just using Facebook Connect and,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, using your Twitter credentials to launch a product. And so they're used to be able to, people are now, you know, the expectation is you'll be able to get into something very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So often, you know, when the first, like as Josh pointed out, the first stop or the first time you're trying to capture information, it's like maybe just the email address or maybe just, you know, again, authentication through a third party.
Mm-hmm. So maybe let's just before we move on from this is, I mean, why is that information so important? I mean, we've kind of touched on this stuff before, but I mean, let's kind of sum it up for like, why would a small business need any more information?
Well, I think it gets to, there's two different parts of it. One is being able to give your customers what they want from you. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, Dave and I were discussing this the other day where, you know, if there's different customers who want to be served different pieces of content, for example, someone may want to hear from you once a week or once a month with just tips to do something better,
yep.
whereas others may want your weekly special. Mm-hmm. I think allowing people to opt in for different elements of what you might have to offer is really powerful. And that's sort of putting the choice in your customers' hands, which I think is really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other side is what you can do with your own data. Right, so there's letting people choose what they want from you, but then also I think being smart as a marketer, regardless of the size of your business, to understand based on what people have done, the things that might be most relevant to them based on what you know and maybe they don't. So I think there's sort of two sides to that coin.
Mm-hmm. And I would add to that, too, is that a lot of times people are wondering, you know, with social media marketing, why don't you, you know, why would you capture email addresses now? Isn't email marketing dead? And I think the point here is that when you are capturing information, then you own the information. When you are using social media, you're using someone else's platform. Both are really powerful, but they're most powerful when used together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's definitely value in still capturing all that information and being really targeted with your communications. Even with the social campaigns that I've run, for Constant Contact, they always work the best when we are driving folks to a social campaign on our Facebook page, both through social posts and through email. And those always work the best.
I think we can definitely spiral off into that conversation about email and the value of using the two things mm-hmm. together. But we won't do that today because we should definitely do that another time. Steve.
Yeah.
For you, what was your number one takeaway?
And welcome to the podcast.
Yes, oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's Yay. Really awesome to be here. I was telling them before, I feel like I'm a guest on, like, Conan or something. You know? Like, it's exciting. It's exciting.
We need to work. We need somebody with, like, brooms.
Yes,
we
exactly.
need a band.
And Dave is in a 6'5" ginger, so.
Well, yeah.
That's also true.
Yeah. I think one of the big hit takeaways for me was just the talk about mobile. You know, mm-hmm. I think for, oh, man, it seems like since, like, mid-80s, every year has been the year of mobile, you know? And it was interesting because I thought that in a lot of the sessions, that was always a big component. And on a lot of different avenues, you know, we had like mobile loyalty, we had mobile commerce, just every sort of panel had a different mobile mm-hmm. channel. I think a lot of it all came back to, you know, this is what consumers really want, what customers really want is mobile. They want the convenience of mobile, they mm-hmm. want kind of that instant access. I mean, I think there was one stat that I heard that really stood out. It was 64% of searches for a restaurant, for example, whenever someone searches on their mobile device, they convert within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about the power of mobile right there, and there it is. So I think that was one thing that really kind of stood out.
Yeah.
Information in context.
Well, you know,
exactly.
I think that's something we need to think about too, right? Is like, you know, hearing that stat can kind of make it seem like, okay, but it doesn't really resonate with you. But if you get into the level where actually if you think about how you're using your mobile device, and if you don't have one, think about how your customers are using it. I mean, I was just telling somebody the other day, like, I'm at a store and I was looking at headphones, and I have the headphones in my hand, and then in my other hand I have my cell phone looking up reviews or for information about those particular headphones. So I could make a decision based on which ones I was going to buy. Same thing with restaurants. I end up in, you know, we might be traveling or going on a road trip or something somewhere. The first thing I'm doing is hitting my mobile phone to find out where a restaurant is. And then I want, like, it's huge when I get into a restaurant and you're like, you're looking for, like, their menu, so to speak, or something like that. And it's like, it's not there.
Especially
or it's
for
very
new
difficult
customers,
to navigate.
Which so many small businesses are after. So that's
yeah.
a good way to hit that market. With
yeah.
mobile.
So it's really just important to think about how people are actually finding you. And
exactly.
mobile is just a huge part of that conversation.
Yeah, and mobile, especially like locally, you know, one of the stats was that like 40% of all mobile searches have local intent. So these are people that are visiting you or on vacation or just live there and want to learn about businesses. They have the intent that they want to come find more about your business and they're searching. You know, Yelp just saw a huge surge in mobile activity and searches. It shows you that people are really, you know, looking for their information and that's how they're using their mobile devices.
And I think it's about making your business mobile friendly. Right, like you don't need a huge outbound mobile marketing strategy. You know, I think, you know, a few years ago everyone was talking about text message marketing and then the world kind of said, leave me alone. Right, and I think, you know, that'll sort of come back eventually. Mm-hmm. But I think it's about making it, whether it's a mobile-friendly version of your website or whether it's just making sure with all of these local mobile search apps that you're listed and you're listed correctly. Whatever it is, it's about being mobile-friendly. You don't necessarily need a whole mobile marketing strategy
right.
as a small business.
I think that's a great point,
And I feel like in a lot of ways, even some of the biggest companies are still playing catch-up with mobile. You know, I think small businesses might feel intimidated or worried that they're, you know, behind the curve. But really, I think even though all these businesses have been saying, you know, mobile's coming, well, no, it's here. And I think everyone's, you know, one of the stats was 1% of marketing budgets go to mobile. You know, it's really a big opportunity for businesses of all sizes, I think.
And just the different functionality and components now, I mean, you think just as something as simple as Passbook. I mean, what kind of doors does that open for small businesses?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it makes it kind of really easy for these small organizations to really take advantage of, you know, mobile in general because there's so many different ways and easy ways for them to, you know, kind of tailor content directly for a mobile user now. It's pretty interesting.
Very cool. Any other thoughts on mobile? Or?
Yeah, actually, one of the, you know, just on a slightly different direction, one of the mobile trends that I think is most interesting is the evolution of the second screen or second screening, mm-hmm. meaning when people are, you know, watching TV, most often this is related to when people are watching TV live, and they're also looking at the Twitter stream either on their mobile device or on mm-hmm. their computer, and really having a side conversation that's related to the content that they're watching. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to think of, like, I mean, if anyone watched any of the debates, I almost, you know, watched them on mute and then watched the Twitter stream alongside that, just because it was so entertaining and really added a lot of color, shall we say, to what was happening on screen. And one of the interesting things, I think a lot of the media sources and news organizations were doing live fact-checking during the debates mm-hmm. as well, which was a really interesting way to provide value mm-hmm. While a live event is going on. So I find that really interesting.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that came up during a session called Marketing to the Digital Consumer, it was a guy from Catalina, John Caron, who talked about mobile is actually your first screen, mm-hmm. right? Like, mobile is the screen that's with you at all times.
Right.
You know, and people talk about it as if it's the third screen, but I think at least in
the third screen. Wait, we added another screen.
Your tablet,
your computer. Yeah, it is.
You know, but I think
the
mobile
TV
is a thing that is with you at all times.
Yeah.
And I think so. That sort of, I don't know, 24/7 access, but like 18.
24.
Access, whatever. But that kind of access makes, you know, mobiles again super important, because the first place people go is mobile, and then the other things are often secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why we hear, especially, people say that email's dead, and I kind of think that it's actually growing now because of mobile, right? We
mm-hmm.
just all talked about how much we look at mobile. You know, I do it every morning before I even get up. The first thing I do is when my alarm goes off, I roll over and I grab my phone and I look at my email.
Yep.
So for anybody to say that
dork.
Email's not
no.
so effective, you all do it. I've all seen emails from you. I got an email from him on Saturday morning at 6:18.
I have a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So I'm not paying attention to him, and I'm on my phone.
Exactly. World does not require
mobile. No, so it's less about, you know, email's not going anywhere as long as people have mobile. It's just kind of the next step is now how do you break through that? So.
Yeah.
So to take from all of this is actually a point that I was going to make that I took from Future M more than anything else, which was a panel of class of 2016. And so it was freshmen in college. There were four of them, and they were talking about what's most important to them, how do they get their information. And it's really interesting, especially to small businesses, because these are the people who are up and coming, right?
Yeah,
these are the people who are going to be purchasing from you. And so one of the biggest things that I took was that they said, your iPhone shows you who you are and shows the people around you who you are. So they are obsessed with their mobile phones. So essentially, it's the same thing. You know, we're not just talking about where we are today, but where are we going? And their mobile phone is more important to them than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, they actually said that live TV isn't very interesting to them because they watch it online and they watch it using Hulu, and they watch it on their iPads.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing to think about when you think about advertising, where the future is actually paying attention. So to me, it was just really interesting because, I mean, I'm not much older than these kids, but I mean, you know, six years ago, it was not like that at all.
Yeah.
You weren't thinking these things,
yeah.
And this is where we're going. So I just found that.
But I do always wonder, you know, not to dump on the panel, right? But I do always wonder when you look at like college freshmen as a proxy for the future. Like I think about myself as a college freshman. And,
wish that you still were?
No. But, you know, your life is so different, right? Like, you don't have a job. You've
mm-hmm.
got endless free time. You don't have any space of your own, right? So the mobile device is the space of your own because you don't have that, right? And I just wonder, I'm not dismissing it because it's probably true, but I also do wonder, like, you know, I remember reading articles a couple years ago about how nobody in high school has an email address,
mm-hmm.
and email is dying. Well, those people don't have jobs either. So, you know, like, life is very different. So it'll be interesting to see how those kids evolve as they get older.
But
right?
I do think that Kristen brings up an interesting point, and really it's the psychology of basically this buffet
mm-hmm.
style of picking and choosing
mm-hmm.
what you want to consume when you want to consume it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually
that,
is
totally agree.
That goes beyond mm-hmm. college students. I think that really is the future of really self-selecting and self-serving and really expecting a very tailored experience to
mm-hmm.
your unique perspective that marketers need to pay
attention
to.
Even beyond that, I think there's something to be said for, and I'm sure this must, I wasn't at the conference, but I'm sure this must have been talked about, is that it has everything to do with utility,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, so if everybody has those phones, and everybody's married to their phones, we use them, we want to get what we want to get from them, or it's like they help us achieve things or do things. It's all about that utility. So it's like, it's about being able to have marketing that through being able to accomplish something. I mean, an example would be like, I think, what is it, Charmin has like a toilet finder app or
yes.
something like that. And they tell you like the cleanliness of the toilet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but like, think about that. If you're like visiting off on vacation, visiting someplace, let's say you go to New York and you need to find a bathroom, a public bathroom.
Starbucks.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you're right, yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, it's about how am I gonna interact with this thing? Like, how can you help me accomplish or achieve what I'm trying to get, you know? So, like, obviously it's where does that match up with your brand and stuff like that, but it's really all behind the utility of mobile, I think.
Right, and at the same
else.
Time, it's the tools that we have. When
yeah.
Josh was in high school, we didn't have these things.
Yeah.
Of course you weren't doing these things.
He needed a tree finder.
Right, exactly.
Maybe.
But, I mean, you know, and you really do. These tools are here for us. We're using them. You need to make sure to utilize them as much as possible.
Yeah.
That's really what I took from that.
But it's kind of interesting, you know, the two of the things that we've talked about today when Erica was talking about sort of the hashtag following the debate, which is inherently about bringing people together, even if you're alone. It's sort of bringing you into a community to discuss something versus sort of a very personalized, tailored, you know, a la carte experience. Like, I do wonder at some point, like, can you have both through your devices? Like, does it become, like, they're sort of at odds with one another. And I'm curious to see how that plays out over time. And also, like, if you spend, you know, I noticed at the conference, every time you go to a tech conference, you just notice that everyone's looking down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's looking down. There's people, there's a panel of experts in front of you, and there's people all around you, and everyone's staring down at their phones, and it's really interesting, theoretically having a social experience, except it's an incredibly antisocial experience. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves as people, you know, the shine of the mobile experience wears off, and it just becomes utility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how will that evolve?
Well, I think you can. I think again, it's the way that people use the tools, not the tools themselves. And I think that you can use your mobile device to have an actual in-person social experience. For example, there are a few people that I had actually never met in person or don't get to see very regularly who were in town for the conference. And we were just, you know, we happened to see that both of through Twitter happened to see that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were both going to be there at the same time. So then I met up with a few of these
mm-hmm.
folks. And so I think that's where the utility is. It's really up to the user to turn it into a social experience.
And I'll add to that. I mean, I think one of the interesting things is that, I mean, I know I've had face-to-face meetings with people that I've connected with on Twitter or social networks, and when we got together, it was a group of us, like, nobody was on their phone. It was very funny because it was just like, oh my God, we need, you know, I can't believe none of us are actually tweeting about the fact that we're like meeting up right now. But it was like, oh, it was really cool to be in the room with those people because you had spent so much time having conversations with them that literally nobody was actually, it wasn't about the device anymore. It was about, oh cool, now we're in the same room together. Like, you know?
That's why
so,
I think marketing nowadays is really about share of attention versus
oh,
anything
yeah.
else.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you think about it, when you're, you know, especially when it comes to social media marketing, you're competing not just against your competitors, but you're competing against everything else where your customers might divert their attention to. So I always liken, you know, when I'm talking about Facebook marketing with small businesses, I always liken it to, you know, people aren't going to Facebook to check out your business. They're going to Facebook to see what their friends are up to, and you, in them seeing any messages from your business is being opportunistic. So it's really like inserting yourself into a feed or getting yourself in the middle of a conversation, especially on Facebook, where you know you have to, your content has to be compelling enough where you can hook people in. It's more
mm-hmm.
of it's pull marketing, not push.
You become either the thing people are talking about, or you're
hopefully in a good way.
Yeah, but or you're part of that conversation of the thing that they're interested in.
I think it's also important that, like, what if you're on social, that you're available when customers want to talk to you,
right?
So it's like the idea of mobile and customer service that all ties in as well. You know, it's like if someone's on their mobile device, you know, they want that convenience we've talked
mm-hmm.
about. They want to be engaging with you. Like, they're going to expect you to respond. Like, if you're on Twitter nowadays, they're going to expect you to respond. You know, maybe not that day, but soon if they have a question or they have a complaint. You know, at that same marketing to digital consumer event, you know, someone sent a tweet to JetBlue, and within 9 minutes, and it was something they had talked about, within 9 minutes, mm-hmm. JetBlue had responded to their tweet. You know, that's instant customer service right there. That's instant. That's something they're going to remember, you know, next time they go to make a purchase or, you know, sign up for a service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. That was one thing that was really neat about FutureM, too, is, you know, you talked a lot about, you know, everyone was looking down at their phones, tweeting, and kind of not really, I guess, paying attention to some of the panelists. But really, it was giving the folks in the audience a way to engage with the panelists while they're in the session. You know, when I was in the engagement marketing session, it was interesting because a few of the panelists, we all had their Twitter handles up on the screen, and a lot of the folks in the audience were tweeting at the panelists during the session, hey, you said this, you know, can you answer this question for me? Just can you expand upon this point that you made? And, you know, most of the panelists at FutureM were actually getting back to these folks, and they were having their own conversations. So it was really interesting and kind of cool because it wasn't just an hour session. It was literally something that was carried on for days, you know, this ongoing, engaging conversation. And it was pretty neat to go back and look through that feed as well because then you actually see where the conversations evolved after the hour was up.
Yeah.
So
cool. With that, guys, we're at about the 20-minute mark. I'm actually going to wrap this up and part two of FutureM, because I think there's lots of great conversation here. So, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time, and be sure to catch part two of the FutureM Marketing Conference discussion.